The United Nations released last October 2009 its latest list of 182 nations ranked according to Human Development Index. Yung HDI o Human Development Index, kasama yan yung mga bagay tungkol sa pamumuhay ng tao, life expectancy, education, standards of living. So kumbaga, the quality of life. And in its rank of 182 nations, the country that tops the list is Norway. It may interest you to know that the U.S. is number 13. And our beloved country, number 105. And if it is any consolation, at least Egypt is 123. Then last 2 weeks ago, Newsweek had for its cover story the best countries to live in. And number one is Finland. And it may interest you to know that the United States is only 11. The Philippines is 63. Again, if any consolation, Egypt is 74. Now, why am I making as consolation the fact that we are higher than Egypt? I say it is a consolation in the sense that Egypt in the ancient world definitely would top the list. It was the best country in the world, in the ancient world. Egypt is one of the world's oldest continuous civilizations. Isa ito sa pinakamatandang tuloy-tuloy na sibilisasyon. Itong Amerika, 1776 lamang yan, at iba pang mga malalakas, mga kapangyarihang bansa ngayon. Pero Egypt is the oldest continuous civilization in the world today. The greatest civilization in the ancient world. Today, it is still host to some of the greatest monuments of history and archaeology. It has, in fact, the only one remaining of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And that, of course, is the famous pyramids of Giza. Sa kanya na lang naiiwan yung pitong ancient wonders of the world. Yung iba, wala na. Alam na lang natin sila sa kasaysayan. Pero ang pyramids ng Egypt ay nariyan pa. Ang lahat ng yan, makikita natin kung gaano katatag, kung gaano kagandang sibilisasyon ang Ehipto. But our interest, of course, is biblical history. And in biblical history, Egypt is one of the most important nations with such an essential bearing on God's people. It's ito sa pinakamahalagang bansa sa kasaysayan ng Biblia na merong mahalagang timbang sa karanasan ng bayan ng Diyos. At ngayong buwan ay tututok tayo dito sa lupain ng Ehipto para sa ating serye. We will be focusing on the land of Egypt for our series and its meaning to the people of God. And I hope as we go along this short series, we will pick up some interesting facts of history, but it is not in history, or it is not history that concerns us. It is rather the important place of Egypt in the theology of the people of God that concerns us. Anong maituturo ng pag-aaral natin tungkol sa Ehipto, sa may kinalaman sa karanasan ng mga tao ng Diyos? For Egypt is only a microcosm, para siyang pattern, a small pattern of some of the big issues for the people of God, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Egypt became the mirror image of the enemy of God and his people. And some of the most fundamental themes concerning Egypt carry on with the New Testament church, even when it is no longer Egypt as such. Therefore, it is important that we understand some of these themes. We will be looking at these themes this month, but perhaps the most important of these themes, without doubt, is the theme of redemption from Egypt. I have a string of 5 texts to begin with, but I assure you they are all very short ones. First, Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, let's read verses 6 to 9. Exodus 6, verses 6 to 9. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they would not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Next, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And these are the words of God to the Israelites through Moses, Deuteronomy 7, 7 to 8. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Turn now to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, this is part of the Davidic covenant. Let's just read verses 20 and 21. 1 Chronicles 17, 20 and 21, David here is responding to the revelation of the Davidic covenant that there will be the eternal kingdom through his dynasty. And now David responds, verses 20 and 21, O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on the earth, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for yourself a name by great and awesome deeds, by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. We now turn to two texts in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And this is in the time of the childhood of Jesus, when he was taken by his human parents to escape the cruelty of Herod to Egypt, and now is returning. And notice how Matthew takes a prophetic perspective of this event. Matthew 2, verses 14 and 15, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Last text is Jude and verse 5. Baka napapagod na kayo, kaya kahit anong chapter na lang sa Jude. Jude verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now, itong limang teksto na ginamit natin, very obviously, ano yung common sa kanila, ano yung pangkaraniwan na sangkap na mga binasa natin, ay ang Ehipto. They all mention Egypt. And here, Egypt is seen as an enslaving power, that it took the love of God, it took the power of God, and the grace of God to redeem His people Israel from the power of Egypt. Ang Ehipto rito ay pinilalarawang isang kapangyarihang umaalipin ng aapi, at ang bayan ng Israel ay tumapailalim sa kanyang pang-aapi na ginanap ang kanyang katubusan sa pamagitan ng pag-ibig ng Diyos, ang biyaya ng Diyos, ang kapangyarihan ng Diyos. Now, here we see the theme of redemption emerging so clearly, that God's people were redeemed from Egypt, but it is not something that is confined to Israel as an Old Testament history. The fact that this very motif is used of the life of Jesus as pattern for his people, and then Jude uses this concept of redemption from Egypt to warn the church against false teachers, we can see how this motif of redemption from Egypt is carried through in the life of the church. Tuloy-tuloy ang prinsipyong ito sa buhay ng iglesia. Tuloy-tuloy ito para sa atin. Ang prinsipyo ng pagtutubos ng Diyos sa kanyang bayan mula sa Ehipto ay prinsipyong totoo pa rin sa iglesia, bagamat hindi na ang bansang Ehipto mismo ang nasasangkot dito. Let me put the message in this way. God's love is recognized in His redemption of His people from the bondage of sin. If we are to understand the motif of redemption from Egypt, this is how we are to understand it. God's love is recognized in His redemption of His people from the bondage of Egypt. Ang pag-ibig ng Diyos ay nakikilala sa kanyang pagtubos sa kanyang mga tao mula sa pagkaalipin ng kasalanan. Paborito pa rin tema na marami ang pag-ibig ng Diyos. Gusto nilang sabihin, mahal ako ng Diyos. At kapag sinasabi nilang sila'y mahal ng Diyos, gagamit sila ng iba't ibang mga paraang ebidensya para sabihin sila'y mahal ng Diyos. Narin ang taong magsasabing, eto, malusog pa rin ako. Heto, pinagaling ako sa aking sakit. Ayan, ako'y binigyan ng aking pangangailangan. At yun ang iniisip nilang ebidensya ng pag-ibig ng Diyos. Hindi ko sinasabing ang mga yun ay hindi ebidensya. Ito'y mga paraan ng pagpapakita ng Diyos ng kanyang pagmamahal. Ngunit nagkakamali tayo kung doon natin sinusukat ang pag-ibig ng Diyos. If we measure the love of God in terms of what we receive physically, financially, and other temporary needs, you get it wrong. Here is the real measure of the love of God for His people. Israel is the way He loved them and then redeemed them from enslavement, from bondage to Egypt. And that is still the same principle we must understand, we must recognize of the love of God. At napaka-angkop nito para sa ating Lord's Supper mamaya. Isipin natin na ito'y marka, ito'y paalala sa atin ng pag-ibig ng Diyos. Ngunit sa paanong paraan natin nakita na inibig tayo ng Diyos? Redemption is the word. Salvation, the theme of salvation. We have here such fundamental themes as that of sin, of God's love. But let me summarize it in three themes, this message. First, we have here the enslaving power of sin. In Egypt, we see the picture of the enslaving power of sin. Secondly, the redeeming purpose of God's love. The redeeming purpose of God's love. And thirdly, the fulfilling pattern of Christ's work. So first of all then, we have here the enslaving power of sin. Sa larawan ng Ehipto, makikita natin ang umaaliping kapangyarihan ng kasalanan. And the role of Moses is highlighted in the two texts that we read from the Pentateuch, from Exodus and Deuteronomy. Moses was called by God to be the deliverer of His people. And the repeated words that we read in describing the condition of the Israelites are the words burdens, bondage under Egypt. That was the condition of the Israelites. Now we know the condition of the Israelites at the time of the Exodus, compounded by the anger of Pharaoh of Egypt. Whoever that Pharaoh was, nobody can be certain, but there was that Pharaoh who became angry with the Hebrews. He wanted them, in fact, to be wiped out. At nung hindi mangyari yung gusto niya, ang ginawa niya ay lalo niyang pinahirapan itong mga Hudyo. And that is a very graphic representation of what sin is to the sinner. One condition of the sinner is bondage in sin. Isang kalagayan ng makasalanan ay alipin ng kasalanan. Na maikukumpara natin sa pagkaalipin ng Israel sa Ehipto. Now, the biblical vocabulary for sin, in fact, borrowed from the Egyptian bondage of the Israelites. For in the teaching of the Bible, sin is bondage. Well, there are many things we can say about sin. Sin is guilt. Sin is corruption. But one thing about sin is that it is bondage. ang kasalanan ay pagkaalipin. Listen to Jesus, John 8:34. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Sino man ang nagkakasala'y alipin ng kasalanan. Listen to Paul, Romans 6:20 and 21. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And so he says, what was your unconverted life before you became Christians? You were slaves of sin. Mga alipin ng kasalanan. To be a sinner without a Savior is to be a slave of sin. My friend, if you are without a Savior, this is your condition. You are under mastery. You are under the oppressive power of sin, and you are by yourself unable to free from that. Now, dito makikita natin, while the Israelites knew of their slavery, they experienced the cruelty of the Egyptians. The misery of the sinner is that he is blind in his own bondage. Dito, mas masaho lang makasalanan. Sapagkat kung yung mga Israelita, damdam nila yung pagkaalipin nila, yung kalupitan ng mga Ehipsyo. Ngunit ang makasalanan ngayon, hindi niya alam na siya'y alipin ng kanyang kasalanan. Their bondage in sin can even give them a semblance of happy freedom, and so they're enjoying life while they are shackled. Well, you see that photo on our bulletin board in our prison ministry. And there you see the men behind bars. And while they have that privilege of listening to the Word of God, but just imagine those many inmates sharing that little space and behind bars. That's the picture of the sinner. Yet he doesn't see the bars. He thinks his life is free. He thinks his life is fun and enjoyable. Iniisipin niya ang kanyang buhay ay masaya. At hindi niya nakikita na siya'y natatanikalaan ng kanyang kasalanan. Oh, it feels free to be free from the rules of the Word of God. Pinag-uusapan natin kaninang araw ng Sabbath. At para sa mga ayaw magpasakop sa Sabbath, may pakiramdam ng malaya. Wala akong Sabbath, wala akong obligasyon. At isipin nila ito'y kalayaan, and they don't realize that by refusing the rules of the Word of God, they are in fact shackled by their own sins. They are slaves of sin. They don't realize that a life in which one can do what he wants and indulge on what he craves, it may feel so free, but it is bondage. Ang buhay na pinaiiral yung gusto, pinaiiral yung sariling pagnanais, bagamat ang pakiramdam ay malaya, ito ay malupit na pagkaalipin. Paul's description of such a life, 2 Timothy 2:26, is taken captive by the devil to do his will. That's the worst bondage of all. The fact that you will just do what you want with no consideration of God's will proves your bondage. Or you may color your life with something to create happiness, and that's what this generation abounds so much with. We have an abounding number of amusements. Music, money, entertainment. And for as long as they can flood their lives with those amusements, they can make it fun. And they don't mind the shackles. They don't mind their sinfulness as long as there is fun surfing the net, watching movies, going through malls, etc. Perhaps legitimate amusements, but it has become a form of escapism for many, for them to do away with the sense of bondage. And that's what the sinner's life is. It's like the man for execution, he usually would be indulged with the last meal. Diba? bibigyan siya ng masaganang pagkain bago yung kanyang execution. But probably, before he even digested everything, he would have been killed. I read the account of one serial killer, John Dillinger, a serial rapist and killer. And yet, so conscienceless was this man, when he was asked what last meal he wanted, I mean, he gave a list of all his favorites and really ate them. Exhausted. Walang konsensya talaga. Pero hindi nyo ba nakikitang ganyan ang buhay ng makasalanan na nagpapakasaya samantalang siya'y natatanikalaan ng kanyang kasalanan? What is the sinner's life with all the amusements that they can manage? It's like in one of the mythological stories was the case of Sisyphus. You know, Sisyphus was punished by the gods, and his punishment was to push a big roll of stone towards the mountain top. But every time he's close to the top, it will roll down and he begins again. And that will happen for eternity. Well, those are just stories, but it's a picture of the routine of life of the sinner that may have its enjoyments, but then the stone rolls back again, and back you are to your life of bondage. This is the condition of the sinner. Whatever he may use to cover up the bondage, he is a sin slave. Now, why do we need to know this as a church? Well, for this challenge, and we see this even in Moses, understand the sinner's miserable condition in bondage even when we preach liberty. Pansinin niyo yung nangyari kay Moses dito. We are told in Exodus 6:9, Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, yung bilin sa kanya ng Diyos, palalayain ko sila, ako ang Panginoon. At sinabi yun ni Moses sa kanila, but notice the response, they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Yung pangmisong pagkaalipin nila, dapat tanggapin nila itong magandang balita, makakalaya na tayo. Pero yung mismong kanilang pagkaalipin ang naging dahilan pang hindi nila tinanggap yung mensahe. It's like being in disbelief that there is liberation for such slaves that they were. It reveals the helplessness under the anguish of bondage. It's like they were saying, we are slaves for hundreds of years now since our forefather Joseph. We have been here and there's no solution to this slavery. Now Moses was the first deliverer sent by God to the Israelites. But I suspect that he was not the first to try. There may have been others who attempted to revolt against Egypt and miserably failed. And the Israelites have come cynically to accept their situation, their condition as slaves for hundreds of years. And when Moses came, their reaction was another one. It won't work. Now, when you come to the sinner, bringing the message of liberation, bringing the message of liberty in Christ, this is the kind of cynical spirit that you will encounter. Understand that this is because of their slavery to sin. We must come to them as one who once knew bondage ourselves, but delivered by the gospel of grace. You cannot come with an arrogant spirit, with a superior attitude, rather sympathize with their misery. Understand such people. Maybe you have such a child in your Sunday school class, problematic in discipline, and you may be giving up on that child. Don't. Maybe people within your reach, visitors in our church, don't give up on them. When William Carey came to India, he encountered the most woeful of cultures. He could not understand that even in the 18th century, there were still the practice that when a man died, his widow should be burned. That's the kind of practice he encounters there, such slavery. But he did not give up on them. He went on and became successful by God's blessing on his mission. So understand, when you come to sinners, you are coming to someone in bondage, in misery. Sympathize and bring to him the message of liberty. Second, consider here the redeeming purpose of God's love. In this redemption of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, a number of times, what explains it is the love of God. And it is a love that is explained as sovereign grace, not deserved. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. So in other words, this is a love that is pledged, a love of the covenant. And that's how we are to understand and appreciate God's love. God's love is to be understood in his redemptive deeds. This is not emotion or circumstances. And I ask you, do not measure love by what you have in your pockets or in your bank accounts or credit card. Not even measure God's love by your health or the lack of health. What is God's love to us today? Romans 5:8 is always one of my favorite citations. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates, present tense, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, past tense, for us. So how do we know presently that God loves us? Don't try to determine how much you have in your pocket. Don't try to determine how much healthy you are. How do I know that right now, here I stand, God presently loves me? Because I can go back to the past, there see the Son of God on the cross who died for our sins. And that tells me, even that long ago, 2,000 years ago, that right now God loves me. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a death that has fulfilled what it has come to do. One of the most tragic figures of Egypt's modern history is Anwar Sadat. Anwar Sadat was president of Egypt, and he was the first to make the bold step of signing a peace treaty with Israel. And yet, other Arab leaders took that as being a traitor. And in one public parade, Anwar Sadat was assassinated by extremist Muslims in his own country. A tragic figure whose death seemed so vain. But brethren, the death of our Savior has accomplished what it has done. And when we remember it tonight in our Lord's Supper, always bear in mind this is a memorial of the love of God. Ito ang patunay ng pag-ibig ng Diyos. Yan ang sinabi mismo ng salita ng Diyos. Gayon na lamang ang pag-ibig ng Diyos sa sanlibutan na kanyang ibinigay ang kanyang bugtong na anak upang ang sino mang sumampalataya ay huwag mapahamak kundi magkaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan. Yan ang pag-ibig ng Diyos. Huwag mong isipin, kung mahal ako ng Diyos, ay bibigyan niya ako ng ganito. Ako'y pagkakalooban niya ng kayamanan, kalusugan, at iba't iba pang iniisip nating pansamantalang bagay. Narito ang pag-ibig ng Diyos. Isinugo niya si Jesucristo upang magligtas ng mga makasalanan. At kung hindi ka pa na kay Jesucristo, lumapit ka sa Kanya. Naroon ang sigaw ng pag-ibig ng Diyos para sa lahat sa atin. And that means to us Christians, learn to appeal more to the love of God. In our continuing struggle in our Christian life, learn to appeal more to the love of God. And sometimes, as I said this morning in our discussion in Sunday school, maliimit na giging legalistic tayo. maski sa mga bagay ng pagsunod sa utos ng Diyos, iwasan natin yun sa halip ay tingnan natin sa upsapin ng pag-ibig ng Diyos na tayo kanyang tinubos. At ito ang dahilan na tayo sumusunod sapagkat tayo tinubos ng Diyos. Do you know the preamble to the Decalogue, that is to the Ten Commandments? Before any of the commandments was given by God, written by His own finger, before He began with commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me, the preamble was, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So in other words, it's in the perspective of God already redeeming me. Now I obey His commandments. Perhaps you have a struggle that you need to bring to the altar of the love of God and His redemption. And this is what moves, where many times simply thinking of commandments will not move us. Be moved by the love of God. In the 18th century, you may be surprised to know that the practice of singing hymns was not widely done by churches. They disapproved of it. For whatever reason, is a matter of historical record. And then came Isaac Watts. And Isaac Watts began to write his poems and hymns. And this, many historians believe, is one of the great movements for the transition into singing churches. And one of the marks of Isaac Watts' hymns that you will note is his appeal to the love of God. One of his most unforgettable is the Sovereign Cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where, among other things, he said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Appeal more to the love of God. Let me conclude shortly with the third point, fulfilling pattern of Christ's work. It may be quite surprising, why did Matthew use Hosea's prophecy pertaining to Jesus? It seems to be confusing. He returned to Israel from Egypt. How did it fulfill prophecy? Well, I think the point of Matthew is that Christ is the representation of every believer who is redeemed from his Egypt of bondage. What God did to his ancient people Israel, now its ultimate fulfillment is in Christ as head of the church. We too are taken out from our Egypt. And the Christian must therefore represent Christ on earth as one delivered from the bondage of sin. And this becomes a test of the authenticity of our Christian profession. Are you taken out of Egypt? You need an ongoing application. We all need an ongoing application of our freedom from Egypt in our Christian life. May patuloy tayong pagsasabuhay ng ating kalayaan mula sa pagkaalipin ng kasalanan. Itong sinabi ni Apostol Pablo, I speak in human terms, Romans 6:19, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now, that is now that you're a Christian, present your members as slaves of righteousness. The Christian, one simple definition, is one who has had a change of masters. From the mastery of sin, now the mastery of righteousness. And the simple question, therefore, to challenge us, are you more and more obeying the master of righteousness? Are you more and more practically free from the mastery of sin? Identify where your sin seeks to have oppressive rule restored. Is it a matter of disobedience? Is it a matter of attitude? Perhaps temper? Perhaps thought patterns? Perhaps worry And this sin is becoming to you a master. Identify it and make it your battleground against Egypt. And for us, it should be more real than for the Israelites. For Christ is one greater than Moses. The cross is greater than the parting of the sea. And therefore, redemption is so much more real to us now. Ang pagkatubos sa kasalanan ay dapat na mas lalong totoo sa atin ngayon. At ang hamon ko sa iyo ay sa iyong praktikal ng pamumuhay, maipapahayag mo ba na hindi babalik sa iyo ang pagpapahayag na pinalaya ka na sa iyong Ehipto? There will be struggles as the Israelites struggled, as we shall see, when they were in the wilderness. Some of them, in fact, kept complaining and they would prefer to go back to Egypt. And yet, the reality of it is that when they were in the wilderness struggling, they could look back to Egypt as something they left behind. Can you look back to a life of sin as something you left behind? An Egypt from which you were redeemed. That's the day-to-day application of redemption in the Christian life, is to always leave Egypt behind. In our last hymn, the sovereign stooped down, as we think of that great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for our redemption, let us be evoked in our desire to respond in gratitude. Verse 2 says, yes, the Redeemer bowed his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. And we ask, verse 5, what glad return can I impart for favor so divine? Oh, take my all this worthless heart and make it only thine. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at aming Ama, nawa ngay matutunan namin sa iyong ginawa sa bayan ng Israel sa pagkakatubos nito mula sa pagkakaalipin sa Ehipto, na ito pa rin ang larawan ng iyong ginagawa sa isang makasalanan, na tinutubos mo sa pagkaalipin ng kasalanan, tinutubos mo upang kilalanin na sa likuran ng iyong pagtutubos ay ang dakila mong pag-ibig, ang iyong walang hanggang kahabagan, ang iyong pakikipagtipan ayon sa iyong soberanong biyaya. And when we think of this, Father, may we be reminded of that effect of sin upon the sinner is one of bondage. And though the life of sin may many times have the semblance of freedom, of being able to do what one wishes, yet in reality, it is a miserable life under the shackles of sin that only your grace can unshackle. And so we ask, Lord, that you will help us as a church to have this sympathy with miserable sinners. For we likewise were what they are now. We were once slaves of unrighteousness, slaves of sin, and only redeemed by your love. And so help us to recognize the redeeming purpose of your love, that your love is not experienced by the temporary blessings that we enjoy. The real measure of your love is what you have done in redeeming us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And even now, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we go back to the cross for the statement of your present love. Not what we have in our pockets or bank accounts, but always what you have done on the cross. And even tonight, as we remember that through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, may it be refreshed upon us. And we truly pray that we may learn to live the Christian life with greater appeal to your love to your people. that we may be able to say with that hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And may we see that this is what is expected of us as representing Christ on earth, for what happened to Christ being called from Egypt is to represent what believers are in their day-to-day living. We are delivered from Egypt, and we must show that sin shall not have any mastery over us. And this means continuing struggle. This means that like the Israelites in the wilderness, we will have our temptations, even the temptation to go back to Egypt. And yet, what a glorious blessing to remind ourselves that Egypt is behind us. The sinful oppression is behind us. And help us, Lord, to demonstrate so in our day-to-day life that we are the delivered ones, that we have now one greater than Moses. We have now the cross greater than the parting of the Red Sea. And we now have, as we remind ourselves through the Lord's Supper tonight, we have redemption that is real. Redemption that we must live day to day to demonstrate. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.